Please, to the book of 1 John and the second chapter. This morning we take up again our study in the book of 1 John. We looked a few weeks ago at that marvelous text, Love Not the World. This morning we're going to pick up in verse 18, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. And here we have the warning against false Christ, against Antichrist. 2 John chapter 2, and I'll begin our scripture reading in verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us, not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye say that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let us bow for prayer as we approach the Word of God this morning. Our gracious, kind, and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have an interest in your Word this morning. We thank you that we have a desire to look into this holy book, the Bible. Father, there are multitudes today that have desire for many other things. The Lord's Day, by most in our world, is viewed as another day off from work, or as a day for personal pleasure, a day for rest to sleep, rather than a day to rest in the Lord. Father, today we thank you that we are here. The fact that we are here in this place this morning is an indication of the working of the Holy Spirit within us. We rejoice in that. Father, today we come as hungry souls, desiring that you would feed us in the Word of God, desiring that we would be edified, that we would be strengthened, that we would be warned, that we would be conformed to the image of our dear Savior. Father, this book before us is your Word. It is given to us by inspiration. It is preserved for our edification. Lord, use it this day in our hearts to mold us to the image of Christ and to prepare us to be faithful servants in the army of Christ. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This 18th verse begins with that address, little children. And if you remember back to several weeks ago, when we began studying this book, we noted that there are actually seven times in this book of 1 John when John addresses us as little children or my children. It's a very tender address. This is an older, aged John than we saw in the Gospels. This is a John who is not yet on the Isle of Patmos, but he's not far from it either. And he addresses us as little children. This is John who has spent from the day of the Ascension looking for the return of Christ. And he says here, it's the last time. The days are short. His own life will be drawing to a close in maybe 10 to 12 years. But it's the last time. And the Lord is coming again. Peter warned us in 2 Peter that in the last days scoffers would come saying, "Where is the sign of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation." Paul told us in Philippians 4 and verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And your moderation there is your lifestyle, the way you live, the disciplining of your life in this wicked world. And James said in James 5 and verse 8, "Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And then again in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And in the book of Revelation, three times we have the statement, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly." And so here John addressing those to whom he has been a spiritual father and those whom he loves, and he calls them his little children, his heart yearns for them just as our hearts yearn for our children. And when we see our children in danger, there is that parental instinct, look out, a warning is given. My little children, it's the last time. I know it is hard. I know you may be frightened. I know the enemy is coming in like a flood and the roaring lion is at the gates. But little children, it's the last times. Hold on a little bit longer. You don't have long to wait. The day is at hand. Our Lord is coming again. I knew a pastor that used to say, "Here, there, or in the air, we'll see you again." Little children, it's the last days. And I know the road is hard, but hold on. But in the meantime, you've heard that Antichrist will come. And even now, there are, and it doesn't say just Antichrist, it says there are many Antichrists among us. This word Antichrist that is used here, we know the prefix anti in English, and in the Greek it's the exact same, you don't have to transliterate it, it's the same thing. Antichristos, the Antichrist. This prefix means, in the Greek, it means against, it means instead of, it means opposite of, and it means in place of. And think about those terms. What is the spirit of Antichrist in the day of John in our own age? It's against Christ. It is opposite of Christ. It is instead of Christ or in place of Christ. And that is what we see in our religious world today. And it always amazes me how well the Sunday school lesson so often dovetails right into the message. Because we were talking about Judas, who was of the disciples, but he was not one of them. And so the Antichrist they're being spoken of here are not simply the 666 Antichrist we think of at the end of the world, though he certainly is included in this, but the Antichrist that are being spoken of here is anyone who denies Jesus Christ. It is anyone who himself stands in the place of Jesus Christ, or anyone who places anything in the place of Jesus Christ. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of Christ. The Roman Catholics place Mary on the same level as Christ. The televangelists of our day place themselves in the place of Christ. It's all about me and whether I can buy a new jet or not. And so the warning here is, little children, those that I love so dearly, hold on, because it's not much longer to wait. I know that you're tired. I know that you're fatigued. I know that you're battled on every side, and there are antichrist among you, even many antichrist. But the fact that they're antichrist is itself to us the glorious proof. It's the last days. You know, many times our problems, many times, every time, our problems have a purpose. They are to us a blessing. The old saying, every cloud has a silver lining. Well, that doesn't come anywhere close to expressing the goodness of God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We looked at that, was it last week or the week before? It's the last times, and Antichrist are among us. Now that prefix, anti, means against, instead of, opposed to, or in place of, and we know exactly what the second part of that word is, Christos. And that word Christos literally is the anointed one. It is the one anointed. They stand against the anointed of Christ. And Christ warned that many will say, I'm in the desert, and many say, Christ is here and there, but don't believe them. Don't listen to them. There is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man. It's not a pope in a booth somewhere. It's not a statue. It's not some beads that you count through as you pray. There is one God and there is one mediator. And the mediator is the Christos. It is the anointed one. He is the Christ. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He says, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Christ told them in Matthew 24 and verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they should deceive even the very elect. And Christ told them in the book of Mark 13, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise and show great signs of wonders to deceive you. And so, we've had the warning. Antichrist are among us. Those that teach another gospel. Those that teach in opposition to the truth of God. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against His anointed. Against His Christ. Saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords from us. My friends, the world, history, science, biology, mathematics, everything in this world is about Jesus Christ. It does not matter the subject. It does not matter the topic. It is all about Jesus Christ. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God created a perfect man and woman. He created them without sin. Did God know that Adam and Eve would fall? He is God. Absolutely, He did. What is the origin of my redemption? I was chosen in Christos. I was chosen in the Anointed One before the foundation of the world. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about your job. It's not about gaining an income. It's not about the NFL. It's not about the United States or politics. It's not about any of these things all around us. Little children, it's the last day. And you've heard that they're going to be antichrist. That there's going to be a world that is opposed to the Messiah. That there are going to be those that are going to be false Christ, saying He's in the desert. Saying, look at me. Any substitute for truth. And the most deceptive substitute for truth is the deception that is closest to truth. You see, I could walk into a store with Monopoly game money and I wouldn't fool anybody. But if I had a very skillfully crafted forgery that looked right and felt right and smelled right. Ah, then I could deceive. Do we think Satan is an idiot? We are not ignorant of his devices. And so, there are many deceivers. There are many that are antichrist. And we find in the Old Testament that this deception of Satan, this desire of Satan to supplant, remember that word anti means in place of, in opposition to supplant the Messiah, to supplant the very God of heaven, it goes back before the creation. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, Satan today is the god of this world. Satan today is the ruler of darkness. Satan today is the deceiver. You know, when we were in Jamaica, we were exposed to what was called Obia, witchcraft. Not to the extent that you have on some of the Caribbean islands where voodoo is very, very prevalent. But we were exposed to it. And there were times when you could literally feel that satanic influence. And there are places in the world today where Satan is out and out worshipped. We kind of get insulated from that in our nice, comfortable American society, in our air-conditioned and heated houses, and our comfortable vehicles, and our jobs, and all this world around us. But it's not just in Haiti and other places. Just because we are not keenly aware of the forces of evil don't mean they're not here. Pardon my English. Doesn't mean they're not here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so, these antichrists that John is warning us about are anyone or anything that sets itself up in the place of God. Little children, who I love. It's the last days. Hang in there. And maybe that's not the best way to put it. But be careful, because the antichrists are here. They are very skillful in their deception. They're not using monopoly money. But rather, they are attacking the soul with something so close to the truth that a man named Judas could walk with Christ for 3 years. Judas would have helped pick up fragments from the feeding of the 5,000. Judas would have been in the boat that was about to sink and see Christ walking to them. He saw it all. But he was of that wicked one. He was an antichrist. He was one who ultimately stood in opposition to Jesus Christ. Now, this term antichrist, which we find in verse 18, is unique to John. He uses it a total of 5 times in 3 verses in this book, in his writings, in 1 John and in 2 John. In verse 22 of our chapter, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He denieth the Father and the Son. Chapter 4, verse 3, he uses it again, and then again in chapter 2 and verse, or chapter, sorry, 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And so John uses this word. It's a unique word to John's writing. But every time it is used, it deals with someone who is denying the deity of Christ. That is always the relationship. It is a denial of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And I want to read from 2 Peter 1:20 over into 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll start reading at verse 20. Know this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that ends chapter 1. But I really believe chapter 2 is connected directly to it. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among them. And so the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Man didn't think this up and come up with a scheme, but it came by inspiration of God. But there are also false prophets among them, even as there shall be, verse 1 of chapter 2, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You want to see that? Flip on TBN. Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I quoted earlier from Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? Verse 3, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And so, beware, there are false prophets among you. Now, what does John tell us about these false prophets? Well, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. I know I've kind of got you jumping around this morning, passage to passage. I appreciate hearing the pages turn. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Do you realize that just about all of the quote-unquote Christian cults began in Orthodox Christianity? Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Christian Science, Seventh-day Adventist, if you want to put them in the category of cults, which I do. You can go down the list. They began with people who used the Bible, were Orthodox in their theology, but they went astray. They were pulled away from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Roman Catholicism is a cult. It is another Christ. And so, here John tells them, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They had their origins in the same faith as we. And I so often think about the children of Israel and the symbolism that we see there. You find the children of Israel all leaving Egypt, all going through the Red Sea on dry land, all partaking of the manna, all seeing water gush out of a rock, all seeing quail fly through the camp at ground level till they could grab them by the bushel full. And yet of all those that left Egypt, two entered the promised land. And so there is a great warning in this text, because these antichrists used to sit in our seats, so to speak, but now they're gone. Now let me back up there a second and be very, very clear on something. A lot of times this passage gets applied to someone left our church and went someplace else. And brethren, that's not what the passage is talking about. It's not simply talking about someone who leaves one church and goes to another. It is talking about someone who apostatizes. About someone who at one time was with the disciples, as was Judas, and yet became a betrayer of truth. They went out from us because they were not of us. Moses warned the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 13, certain men, children of Belial, of Belial, are going out from among us and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their cities, saying, let us go serve other gods, which ye have not known. And so Moses warned the children of Israel there in Deuteronomy, this is going to happen. There are going to be people who will leave us and they will say, let us serve other gods. Now today, a lot of the false prophets are saying, well, let us serve Jesus Christ. But it's not our Jesus Christ. You see, they are serving a God that they have made. They are serving a God that they have created, and they have given their God the name Jesus Christ. But He's not the true God. He's not the God that says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He is not the God that says, no man that cometh to me and forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciples. Isn't that contrary to the prosperity gospel? Oh, you come to Christ and you're going to have everything. And you send me $10 and I'll give you this little piece of my tie that I spilled ketchup on and it'll heal you. They make merchandise of us. And so these were at one time sitting among us, but they were never part of us. They went out from us, we read there in verse 19. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Brethren, think about that. If you are a child of God, if the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're the child of God, how could you ever turn away from that? How could I... The love of God has wrapped me in His arms. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him unto Him against that day. I know that He is my Savior, not because someone told me He is, not because of something I've done, not because of my works, but purely His mercy and His grace. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am the child of God, and I know I'm a sinner, and I confess I'm a sinner, and I despise myself. Oh, wretched man that I am. And yet I adore Him who has borne my sins. How could I ever turn from that? These went out that it might be manifest that they were never in. And brethren, friends, teenagers, children, we must be very careful that we're not carrying around a pocket full of Monopoly money, but rather that we have the genuine. That we don't feel saved simply because we're doing the right things and singing the right hymns and going to the right church. But we know that we're children of God because the Spirit of God is bearing witness with our spirit. We know that He is the Christ. That He is the Messiah of mankind. I know our time is rushing away. But let's turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 6. And it's fascinating to me that so many of the supporting references and corresponding references that we have to the book of 1 John are found in the Gospel of John. And I mentioned to you several weeks ago that 1 John don't mean to be disrespectful to it and put it this way, but it's almost the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Gospel of John, because so many of the truths that are in the Gospel are reiterated and explained. 1 John, in some ways, is almost a commentary on the Gospel of John. In 1 John chapter 6, Christ is discussing with the disciples who He is, and here we find Peter's great profession. John chapter 6, verse 64. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given him of My Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." This isn't the wicked being spoken of here. This isn't the ungodly that are spoken of here. This is disciples. This is students. This is learners. But the road got too hard. Christ said to them, "No man can come unto Me except the Father which sent Me draw him." And it got too hard. And they went back. Little children, it's the last day. The time is short. And there are antichrists. There are fakes out there. Be careful. Quit yourselves like men. Put on the whole armor of God, because they're very deceptive. They went from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Verse 67, "Then saith Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And then look at verse 69. Remember, we said everything goes back to the deity of Jesus Christ. "And we believe and are sure that Thou art anointed, that Thou art the Christ. We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." One of you hasn't left yet. But as Elder Tim pointed out to us so well in Sunday school, he was in the process of departing, and he would fall headlong and his bowels would gush out. "They departed, that it might be made manifest," verse 19 of 1 John 2, "that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Back to 1 John 2, and we really need to spend some time here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and know all things." And ye know all things. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." This word unction is a fascinating and very interesting word. And there is a play on words here in these verses that is not evident in our English. But this word unction, again, is a word that John uses frequently. And you find it again in this same chapter. Look down to verse 26 and 27 of 1 John 2. "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing," it's the same word unction, "but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye have not need that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath been taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Remember, we said that Antichrist, Antichristos, and that Christos means anointed. Okay? So Christ is the anointed one of God. We have an anointing. There are some that have departed. There are some that went out from us because they were not of us, but we have an unction. We have an anointing. And what was the anointing? Well, remember, they would take the holy oil and they would pour it upon the priests in the anointing. They were set aside. They were anointed to a purpose. The true child of God has an anointing. We have an unction. We have a defense mechanism. And that is the Holy Spirit. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man can pluck them from mine own hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so, brethren, we live in the last days, perilous times. There are antichrists all around us. We must be sure. We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We must examine ourselves daily to see if we be in the faith. We must make sure we're not playing with monopoly money. But this unction, this anointing that we have, that is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Bro, and this is a beautiful passage, and I'm only going through 3 pages of my 8 pages of notes. It's glorious. Little children, it's the last days. Hang in there. Hold on. It won't be long. Are we there yet? I know the adversaries are there. There are antichrists. They're deceiving. We've seen people leave us and leave us and leave us. They went out because they weren't of us. But we have an anointing, brethren. We have an unction. We have the Holy Spirit that wraps His arms around us and holds us close. I know it's hard, dear little children. Beware of false prophets. Beware of antichrist. But you're not alone. Because we have an unction. We have an anointing. And look what he says about that anointing there in verse 26 and 27. These things that are written unto you concerning them that seduce you, concerning the antichrist, concerning the false prophets. I've written to you about the ones that are giving you trouble, but you have an anointing which ye have received of him, abideth in you. Sorry, let me start verse 27 again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Remember the promise of the Old Testament that he would write his law in our hearts? You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, shall abide in taught you, ye shall abide in him. This anointing teaches us of all things. In other words, it gives us an awareness. It gives us a knowledge of the truth. And I'm going to close with this, even though we could go much further. But this phrase that John uses here teaches you of all things. There's an alternate translation. 47 times in our King James, this exact same phrase is it teaches us of all men as opposed to all things. Now consider John's context. It is warning us of Antichrist. It is warning us of seducers. And the anointing which we have, yes, it does teach us all things about Christ, and that was the promise of the Holy Spirit. But it teaches us of all men. It teaches us to discern between the monopoly money and the true. And even to discern between the very, very close counterfeit. It teaches us all things. Brethren, it's the last days. Hang on. We must stand, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let us stand for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your great love to us. We thank you that you do all things according to the purpose of your will. We thank you, Lord, that we have an unction, that we have the Spirit bearing witness with our own spirits. Oh God, I plead for our children. I plead for our teenagers. I plead, Lord, for our adults as well. Lord, if there are any here this morning that do not know that ministry of the Holy Spirit to their hearts, Father, may they seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Father, give us grace to occupy till You come. We pray this in Jesus' name.